And the usual passage we might hear chronicles Jesus' triumphal entry. I'm not going to use that passage this morning. We're going to pick up a portion of the story just shortly thereafter, but to remind us of the moment when Jesus arrives, it is Passover time, and so it's festival time. So Jerusalem is swelling with tourists and visitors, pilgrims who have come to celebrate. And so it is full. And there are parades going all over the place. There's a parade because the Roman governor is making his way in from one gate. There's a parade as Jesus is coming in from another direction and on. It's a lot of hullabaloo is another word for it some people might use. There's a lot of activity going on. And the parade is spontaneous, certainly. The palm branches come out and are torn off and thrown down, and people are shouting, "Hosanna, save us. Hooray. This could be the Messiah." And all that goes on. And then we come to our passage this morning. It's an intriguing piece. It says, "Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks." We don't know if they're God-fearing Greeks or just tourists, figuring this would be an interesting time to be in Jerusalem. But they're inquisitive nonetheless. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Well, Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Spirit, come and speak. Help us to understand, like the Greeks, we come to inquire, to wonder, "What are you up to, Jesus? What is all this about?" Help us to understand today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you know I have three children, three daughters, and I don't know when you had kids if you remember that first day bringing them home, but I remember it distinctly. The hospital where she was born was less than a mile from our home, and after that long night waiting in anticipation and successful delivery next day, I remember cradling this little bundle, tiny 9-pound, 12-ounce bundle. Okay, she wasn't so tiny. She was 2 weeks post-due, gotten a little larger than expected, but you can ask Carlene all about that. But even still, I'd never held my own child before. This was a first, and then to put her into that car seat, a car seat designed for a much larger child, right? And so she's just tiny in the midst of this thing, and so you're kind of surrounding her with anything you can to prop her up and to make sure she's secure, and then buckling her in and checking it twice. And then on the drive home down the El Camino Real, I'm sure the speed limit was like 40 miles an hour, but I'm pretty certain I didn't top 20, right? You're just going, it's like, "Why is it so fast around here? This is crazy. There's a child in this car," right? You know, I mean, just so concerned, right? It's that nervous Nelly moment. It's like, "Oh, just got to get her home safe. Get her home safe. Get her home." It's a scary moment. And then to bring her home. I was thinking about that moment, and then sort of, when's When's that next really scary moment with your child in the car, right? It's about 15 and a half. They've got their permit now, right? You're trying to hand over the keys. It's a scary moment. Because we like control. I like control. I like when I drive, when I have the keys. It's my car. I get to choose the speed, the route, the destination. I feel solid, in control. But when I have to hand over those keys to that new driver, I'm not so sure. I trust her. And perhaps you did this too. You know, for the first several months, the only time I handed over the keys to our permit driver was when we were in a big empty parking lot, right? There's nothing in sight but light poles, and hopefully we didn't hit those, right? It's scary times, sort of handing over the keys. I was thinking about that in the midst of this Palm Sunday moment. The parade comes along, and everybody's shouting, "Hooray! Jesus is here! Hooray! Jesus has come to save us!" But everybody had an agenda for Jesus at the parade. They had, "Hooray, come and take away the Romans, Jesus. Jesus, come and heal me. Jesus, come and get rid of all these foreigners who are stepping into our power and our land. Come and take back the temple." They all had an agenda. Even as they shouted Hosanna, it was, "Hosanna, save us, Lord, and do what I want you to do." Because, of course, they all had different ideas of what the Messiah was going to do. It's as if they had their own keys to their car. And they said, "Well, Jesus, come on, lead us, but I'm not gonna let you drive the car. I'm just gonna have you as co-pilots. Tell you where I'm gonna go and hope that you'll bless it." I think that's perhaps why Jesus has this conversation when the Greeks inquire. I think everybody had this agenda for Jesus. And even as the Greeks ask, "We want to talk to Jesus," I think he senses this is the time. This is the moment when I need to make it utterly clear of what's going to happen here, of what my life is about, and what God is up to. I think that's why he says what he says. Because everybody had a thought, a way, a desire for Jesus, for the Messiah, and he had to set them straight. Have you ever handed over those keys before? Not to a child, not to a permit driver, but to Jesus. I think that was his challenge for the crowd. They wanted Jesus along for the ride, but they didn't want to hand over the keys. He said, "Well, Jesus, I like being in control. I like being in control. I don't like handing over the keys, whether it's to my child or to Jesus. That's a challenge to me." I say, "What? I like control. When somebody else is driving, experienced driver or not, there's always a little sense within me of discomfort. Like, I wouldn't have taken this route. Oh, I don't know. It's going a little fast for this road. Oh, I should have used a blinker there, right?" I mean, we all have our little quirks. Listen, with three daughters, I've had plenty of backseat drivers too, right, along the way. And I think, "Are you kidding me? I've been driving for 30 plus years. You have like 6 hours of a driver's training course, and you're correcting me on my driving, right? Just trust me. Trust me. And I think ultimately that's what Jesus is up to as he comes in into Jerusalem, his final week, his final moments, and he's trying to get it clear. He, as Messiah, he's not here to be the overthrowing, take out the Romans, Terminator kind of Messiah they were expecting. He's God. And he's saying, I'm here to lead you. I'm here to take over. Yes. To sit into the driver's seat. I need you to hand over the keys. Will you? That's his challenge to me, to us, to the Greeks, to everyone. It's to surrender the keys of our life. And I know that's uncomfortable. I like control. But what Jesus has been trying to show the disciples and us throughout his short time of ministry is he created us. He knows best how to lead this life. And so we can trust him. If we want to hand over the keys, he's the one who knows best how to drive, so to speak. More years experience than any of us behind the wheel. But that's a challenge, isn't it? If Jesus is driving, then my life is not my own. If Jesus is driving, then that means he's in charge of my life. He's in charge of things like my wallet and my spending. And so I have to respond, not in ways that when I'm feeling a little generous, I'll give, but I give because God's a generous God. If Jesus is in control, then that's what I do. If Jesus is driving, I'm not in charge of my ego anymore. I have to sort of check myself at the door and say, God, you're in the lead. And so I have to check my mouth, what I say, what I think, to set those things aside. That's the challenge of the Jesus following life. That Jesus leads. Jesus in the driver's seat. We've handed the keys over. It's at the center of our passage this morning that to really follow God, to be a Christ follower, it involves surrender. And I know that's an awkward word for us. We don't think of life and success with surrender. But that's exactly what Jesus calls for. He said, those who love their life lose it. Try to hold on to it, lead it their own way. They lose it. Those who hate their life, here I think hate's probably a little hyperbole, to set their life aside in this world will keep it. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be also. Or he said it this way in Matthew, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. This is hard stuff. But this is at the center of Jesus' message. His ministry and life. He's saying, look, I know how best to live this life. Trust me with it. Stop trying to correct my course and my speed. Just trust me with it. Hand over the keys. So the question on Palm Sunday as we look towards Holy Week is, have we ever really handed over the keys to Jesus? Or is it more of the sort of occasional, Jesus, would you join me for this ride? I need you along for this moment. I don't want you around all the time, Jesus, but just a little bit. Come every once in a while. I'm sick, Lord. I need you to come alongside and help heal me. Lord, I'm struggling with a job right now. Would you come alongside and help me find a new one? I'm struggling with this relationship, Jesus. Could you show up and guide me? Sort of Jesus as occasional passenger versus driver. That's the challenge we face, isn't it? Committing, trusting, surrendering the keys to our life and saying, all right, God, it's all yours. I know you gave it to me, but you've been waiting patiently for me to give it back. And the question is, have we ever really done that? was reading about somebody who handed over his keys several years ago, a man named William Borden. Anybody familiar with William? He was a Chicago native, turn of the last century, 1900. He was a son of William Borden Sr., who had made his money in mining, silver mining in Colorado, and then moved to Illinois. Not to be confused with the Borden condensed milk family, also Chicago area, but two separate families, by the way. They were a rich family. William went off to boarding school in Pennsylvania. At 16, he graduated from high school. I guess they were a little quicker through high school in those days. And because his family had means for his graduation present, they sent him on a trip around the world. Can I go? Anybody else? Wow, what a graduation gift. This is in 1904, a trip around the world. I don't know how long that took. Probably a little longer than today. As the story goes, he went on that trip. He went around Europe and Asia, the Middle East, everywhere. And on that trip, he more and more was concerned with the plight of the poor around the world, struggling with it. So that finally he wrote home to say to his mother and father, I'm going to give my life to prepare for the mission field. And at the same time, he wrote two words in the back of his Bible, no reserves. Came home from the trip. He went on to Yale University. While he was there, he was a pillar of the Christian community. It was amazing. He started prayer groups and Bible studies. He kept a journal. In his journal, at one point, he wrote down this phrase that was kind of the defining, guiding phrase for him. It said, say no to self and say yes to Jesus every time. Wow. Somebody who handed over the keys. Said, Jesus, lead. You drive. I'll enjoy the ride with you. During his first semester at Yale, he started a small prayer group that would grow. Gave birth to a larger group, more groups starting throughout campus. By the end of his first year, he had 150 freshmen meeting weekly for Bible study and prayer. By the time he was a senior, he had 1,000 out of 1,300 students in the student body meeting in small groups and Bible study. Practically the whole campus. Because he was fully devoted. He was strategizing with other Christians, making sure every student on campus got to hear the good news. And he was also ministering in New Haven with the poor and the needy. But his real passion was overseas. And he knew he wanted to work with the particular group of people, the Kanzu people in China. And so he went from graduation. He wrote two more words in the back of his Bible. No retreats. No reserves. No retreats. And he went on to seminary, where he went to Princeton Theological Seminary. Woo, 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 woo. Yeah. From there, he went to Egypt to learn Arabic and the Muslim culture, because the particular group of people in China were mostly Muslim, and so he wanted to learn the language and the ideas and the faith, and so he went to Egypt to study there. Sadly, while in Egypt, he contracted spinal meningitis and died at age 25. But it is said underneath the last two phrases in his Bible was one more phrase, no regrets. Here was a man who had handed over the keys. Without reserve, without retreat, without regret. And was emboldened to follow in Christ's footsteps. And because of him, missionary movement into China and the Muslim world grew exponentially after his death, it inspired hundreds to go serve, share the good news all around the world. William Borden, he handed over the keys. No regrets. He handed over the keys. He didn't have to. He had a fortune behind him. He could have done anything else in his life. He was the master of his own fate. He was driving the car. But he was taken by Christ and surrendered to him and said, "Lord, I want to live your way." And had this amazing impact in the world. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. On this Palm Sunday, for us, there is that question: what are we holding back? What are our reservations? What are the things that keep us from handing over the keys fully? I get it. I don't think I've handed the keys over fully every day, because it's really a daily challenge. It's not just a one-time, "Yes, Lord, take my life. Here you go." Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Daily. It's a daily decision. Say, "Jesus, what? I want you to lead, or I'm leading." It's really an either or, and it's a daily challenge. And as we look into this Holy Week ahead of us, I wonder, are we ready to hand over the keys today, tomorrow, the next day? I get the challenge. There are plenty of areas in my life where I think, I don't really want Jesus to have the keys for that. I have to wrestle with that every day. And some days, Jesus wins out, and some days, my self-centeredness wins out. That's the nature of our broken world, our broken lives, of the sin we wrestle with day in and day out. But make no mistake, Jesus said, "Look, those who love me will follow me. They'll be where I go." As we look towards this Holy Week, friends, day by day, as you get up, as you look at your keys, perhaps, I hope you'll hear Jesus' invitation that says, "Let me drive." Gracious God, we are hesitant to let you drive. We like control. We like the things, the way our life goes when we are in control of it. But you know best how to live. And so help us to respond, perhaps like William Borden, without reserves, with no retreat, with no regrets. To hand over the keys every day, to let you lead, and we will follow. May your Spirit embolden us to make that choice day by day, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, we continue to worship, we respond.